Welcome to the Whitetail Obsession Podcast with Dave Richmond and co-host Chris Worthing, where we talk and teach everything deer and turkey hunting related. Follow along as we help teach you tips and techniques about hunting, food plots, and habitat management strategies that everyone can use.
Welcome back to the podcast, guys, number 65. Chris, what is the weather over there in PA today?
Well, I'm looking out the window here and we're flurrying.
Really?
I got snow.
It's 65 degrees here and sunny.
You're smoking.
I'm serious. Something. 65 degrees and sunny.
Oh my.
I'm in a t-shirt.
It's 31 with flurries and the grass is all white.
Well, you know what's funny about that is the past 2 weeks have been kind of warm on and off a little bit. And everybody went out and planted food plots.
Yeah. Right?
I had questions so many over the past 2 weeks. And I had guys disking fields, planting stuff. and it's people that I told, wait, right?
Yep.
While I was at the farm, my farm, on Saturday and Sunday, I was cutting trees, doing all kinds of stuff. I left to come home Sunday afternoon. Monday, I was getting trail camera pictures of snow.
Mm-hmm.
It went from 60 down to, it was like 27 in the morning.
Yeah.
Guys, it is not time to plant food plots. I looked at the weather, 15-day forecast. They're calling for more snow toward the middle of next week in PA. It's not time. So whoever planted.
It is time for frost seeding.
Though. It's time for frost seeding, yes. But not legit planting. Not time.
It was time for me. I hit it just right.
I did soil samples. I spread lime. I pulled all my trail cameras, updated them just like we talked about. And I was able to do some cutting on a south facing slope. And I'm not done. I got to go back one more time to finish cutting. But we're looking good.
So while you're upset at these people, let's talk about today's topic. Today's topic is going to be pet peeves of the hunting industry.
Yep. Had somebody message me and say, hey, you and Chris should make a video podcast about pet peeves. And we've never done one. So I was like, yeah, I'll talk to Chris and see. But that's what we're going to do today. So me and Chris made five pet peeves of our own. I don't know. We may have the same. So if we have the same, then we'll just whatever. But we each have five. I don't know what he wrote, and he doesn't know what I wrote.
No.
So you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Let me show off my hat first.
Okay. What hat is it?
For the turkey hunters and the
NWTF.
NWTF. Stars and bars. Ain't
did you
that
just get
pretty?
That?
No, I've had that for years when I was on the committee.
Oh, okay. Hey, let me, I forgot to ask you, when's this, this giveaway thing at the, is it Jets Church or something?
Yeah. April 13th.
Okay, and they're giving away stuff.
Yep.
Is anybody invited or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Cool. Yep. Anybody can come.
You had domain gift some stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but you did.
Okay. Well, I'll let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, but yeah, there's going to be some my friends and partnerships that I have. Some people have donated already. And the church members themselves, we're going like the Walmart, all these end of the year specials, you know, and buying up all this stuff that was on clearance and things. And that's going to be the door prizes. Mm-hmm. I think last year we went around the room twice. Everybody got two prizes.
Nice.
We just kept pulling tickets and everybody got something.
I have to see Jet when I come up in May.
There you go.
I'm going to visit Jet.
You have to go see David Jet.
Does he listen to this?
Yeah, sometimes he does.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. Well, Jet, I'm coming to see you.
There you go.
All right. So you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Okay. I can. I don't care.
Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, man.
I don't know how to play that game, so tell me
here
if
we
I want.
Go. All right, okay. Ready? Go.
Ready?
What? One. One, two, three, and then pick
okay.
up.
One, two, boom.
One. Yeah. One,
two, boom.
I'm going to kill you. Start over. Do it again. One, two, three. I cut your paper, so I win.
You go then.
All right. I don't even know if that's how it goes. But anyway.
I don't know how to play it.
Number one on my list is pet peeve is, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
If it's brown, it's down.
Yeah, that's a good one.
If it's brown, it's down. And we're going to say these and then just give a brief description of why it bothers me or okay. why it
if
bothers
I have
you.
One similar, can I play off of that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, number one, if it's brown, it's down. I see this comment all the time. And hunters can hunt however they want. You know, if they want to shoot whatever, it's brown, it's down. Mm-hmm. But typically, I mean, I've been deer hunting for 25 years. You've been deer hunting longer. But typically, these people, hunters, that say this exact saying, it's usually people that later on in the season or something is complaining, or they're complaining anytime throughout the season that they don't have any deer, they're not seeing deer, or something like that. So they have this mentality of, if it's brown, it's down. And it really irritates me. It makes me angry because people sometimes don't realize their own, I guess, downfalls or something. I don't know how to explain it, but like, if it's brown, it's down. It's just dumb. It's just stupid. And obviously, hunter, you know, you buy a tag, you can hunt any way you want, man. You can hunt any way you want. But don't complain when you're not seeing any deer. The deer numbers are down in your area. You see, hear this stuff constantly. Just don't complain, basically. You know, if it's brown, it's down, you want it, and you come in there and you blast everything, and then all of a sudden you don't have any deer and you're complaining and you're going on social media saying, oh, the DNR got to stop giving out so many tags. You know what I'm saying? You see this.
Right.
Give out so many tags and this and this and this. No, it's because you need to manage your own area within your area. So, you know, if you have that, if it's brown down mentality, just don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's your turn, Shemp.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to play right off of that because I had one similar.
Oh, okay.
I wrote down catchphrases.
Mm.
And that's one of your catchphrases. You know, people say, oh, if it's brown, it's down. My thing is like someone, you know, didn't go 20 or, you know, or after the shot, I smoked them or, you know, or everybody now is saying, let's go and all this stuff. It just irritates me, man. Be yourself.
Yeah. It's just people following trends and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. You're excited.
It gets old, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, sometimes I probably say some stuff, too, that I get excited. You don't know. Like, you get excited. You don't know what you say. You know,
yeah.
Just like if you get angry at somebody or argument, you kind of say things where you don't really mean to. It's just you're
right.
upset. But I get it.
Yeah. I mean, if you sit on cable television and watch hunting channels, everybody yeah. says the same things after they take a shot.
Yeah.
It just gets
yeah.
on my nerves.
Yeah, it's annoying.
All
for
right.
sure.
Go ahead.
Or
should I go again?
No, I'll go. Number two. If I don't shoot it, the neighbor will.
Ooh. Yeah.
And this bothers me because, again, this kind of is off of number one if it's brown, it's down. But I see this comment all the time. If I don't shoot it, the neighbor will. Well, that's not true. You know, Grant Woods has a video that he posted a couple years ago about this specific topic. And he really kind of breaks it down and it makes sense. So anybody should check it out. But I've passed deer that I swear could have sworn that my neighbors would shoot it. And they didn't. I've seen it the following year. So again, like if you have this mentality of it's, if I don't shoot the neighbor will, a four pointer walks by you, you blast it because you think your neighbor's going to shoot it. Well, that deer, you know, again, you can do what you hunt how you want, but just don't complain about it later on because you pass a spike or a four pointer means nothing that your neighbor's going to kill it. I mean, I see if that was the case, like there just wouldn't be any, but you know what I mean? It's just a dumb saying, I think. And it just doesn't make sense. The mentality of that just doesn't make sense to me. Do you have anything to say about that?
I would say to get on with your neighbors, get with your neighbors and see if you can all get on the same page. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're all interested in shooting better bucks, well then, you know, make an agreement with them. You know, we're not going to shoot anything smaller than this, right, or something, you know, just get with your neighbors. It's easy. I mean, it really is. I mean, everybody wants to shoot a big buck, but
well,
you're not going to if the neighbors or yourself is shooting something small. So,
yeah, I think you should be able to shoot whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean,
I'm just saying, don't complain about it.
Right. And if you're holding out for a 10 point and a neighbor wants to shoot a six, I'm not going to get mad at him, but
right,
you know, it's all in what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? People can do what they want. Just don't complain about it later on. And then don't go on social media blaming the DNR for giving out too many tags or, you know, cause it's just what happens, man. People are just, they get too wacky with this stuff and,
right,
shoot what you want, but just don't complain later on that there's no big deer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your turn.
Well, I'm looking here and I think two of them, I think I can consolidate into one.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to say is people in the industry get offered things a lot to use. And one of the things I don't want to do, me personally, is like take a partnership or something with some product that I'm never going to use. And the flip side of that, the other one that I was going to say was like getting paid to say things because someone gave you something, you know, if I feel confident enough to pursue a company and ask them, hey, would you give me, you know, a portion of your product or something, and I can in return advertise a little bit, put your name out there or whatever, you know, that's kind of how the handshake is, agreement for partnerships. If I feel confident enough to pursue that, that means that that's something that I want to use. But like, for instance, I had an email not too long ago from a company that wanted me to advertise for them, and in return they was going to give me vacuum seal bags. And I just politely declined and told the guy, I said, hey, I'm sorry, I don't really butcher too much anymore of my own critters. I take them to a butcher. And then I turned around and went with you and shot a Sika deer and had to bring it home and butcher it. Mm-hmm. But I had bags. But the moral of the story is, I hate like other YouTubers and things that they have this big list of sponsors and partnerships and things, and it's crap they don't even use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that one you said you got one time? It was something about landscaping or something to do. Some product they wanted you to push or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was something that you was never going to use. And you was like, no, you know, and that's the way I was with these vacuum seal bags. I mean, it's not something that I needed. And then, you know, one of the things that burns companies, and my buddy's company here, this High Point Archery company here, he's got burned so many times. He's a good dude, and he's given away a lot of his product to people, even television people. And they give him like a little 5-second emblem down in the corner of their television show, you know, and then they don't even use the product on the show.
Yeah.
And that's just so ignorant, you know, the guy's struggling to make a good company and he's giving them product and they're out there supposedly, you know, they're supposed to use it, show them using it, taking pictures and putting it on social media and advertising for them and things. And all they did is did a little ad, you know, little slideshow at the bottom of the screen, you know, all their sponsorships and stuff, you know, going across the bottom of the screen, and they don't even mention the name. It's just a logo, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just he got burned so many times, and that's what ruins it for guys like us that are willing to do things for companies, you know, in return for their product. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that burns me.
Well, I know when I first got started making YouTube videos, it's almost 9 years ago, something like that. I started a YouTube channel. Back then, it was very easy to work with companies. It was endless that I could have worked. At the time, there was companies I was working with where there was, you know, financial contracts. But now it's almost impossible to get it. And I realized that, you know, back then, like you just said, all these companies got burned because everybody back then wanted to work with a company. It was super easy. Companies were giving away stuff like crazy just to get publicity, you know, get their products out there, and all that. But it hit me a few years ago where I'm like, dude, I don't have time to promote these products. You know what I mean? So I got rid of a lot of stuff, and I literally work with two companies now, Elimishield and Domain. Mm-hmm. Domain, for me and you, 100% makes sense because our YouTube channels and stuff is 75% food plots.
Right.
And so that makes sense. And then Elimishield, I like that, working with Philip and stuff. I mean, heck, you didn't wear freaking deodorant for 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, maybe longer.
Right, using the foam. So it's a really good product.
Heck yeah, it is.
Other than that, like, I mean, what do you need? But the companies, these TV shows, and I've seen it firsthand. I'm not going to say the name, but I've been to places and filmed with TV shows and stuff, and they were... Yeah, you know, I was around them, and they're like, "Oh my God, we got to get this product. We got to take some pictures.
Right.
You know, we got to get this stuff." Right?
It takes precedence, not the hunt.
Yeah, they took pictures of it.
Yeah.
But then they never used it. They would use something else.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's because it's about money. They got to pay for their TV show.
Right. Right.
So they have to promote these products, and without the products or without these companies paying them, they don't have a TV show. Because a lot of people don't realize you have to pay to be on TV. Yeah. You don't get paid to be on TV. You got to pay to be on TV.
Correct.
So these companies are giving these guys $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 for a sponsorship. And then they use that money and put it toward a TV show.
Right.
You know, back then, 8 years ago, it was, you know, 60, 70, 80 grand to be on the Pursuit channel. Now it's over 100 grand, and TV's fading out, dying. Nobody watches it. Everything's on YouTube. So I had opportunities a few years ago to make a TV show from a reveal that one of the guys, one of the marketing people or whatever, they had this TV deal, and he contacted me. He's like, "Hey, we can put your YouTube. You can make 12 episodes a year about land management and this and this and this, and it would cost you $1,000 an episode."
Cost you?
Yeah, I would have to pay $1,000, and that was a deal, right? I said, "Oh, well, who's paying for that?" He's like, "Well, you." I was like, "Dude, that don't benefit me at all.
No,
I can get more exposure on YouTube
for free."
And he's like,
"Next to free, yeah."
Right. So it's like, you know, well, I get it. It just... You got to follow the money with that. You know, I don't get paid a dime from anybody now, and I'm better off because it's less stress. And, it's just,
well, and that's a pet peeve in itself. You know, people that follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, trying to chase that money down. Mm. We're not going to name any names, but we know a couple of them.
Yeah, we do.
So, who's up?
I'm up.
Okay.
Now that we went down a little rabbit hole.
That's true. Yeah. Go ahead.
You got me. You got everybody fired.
You're
up.
You're all fired up.
Yeah. So number three.
he's hot.
I'm hot. I got high blood pressure now. Number three, again, can't eat the horns.
Ah.
I see this all the time. And somebody will shoot a deer, and usually it's a small deer, and they'll post it on social media, and the first sentence is, can't eat the horns.
Right. That's funny, because my next one was, it ain't what I was after, but.
Right. And it's that mentality. Like, dude, if you want to shoot a four-pointer, shoot a four-pointer.
Yeah.
But if you're embarrassed about it, and then you go on social media and say, well, can't eat the horns. Well, we get that. Like, but shoot a doe. You know, if you can't, like, right. Why do you have to shoot a four-pointer, you know, or a spike or something? Like, don't downplay it. Like, if you're going to take, and I feel like that happens in desperate situations where somebody's like, oh my God, it's late in the season. I have to shoot a deer. Well, no, you don't have to shoot a deer. I don't think you're starving. Like most people can, that if you're paying to hunt, you're buying a bow and you're buying all this stuff.
It's
and this
expensive
and this.
To hunt. Yeah.
You can afford not to shoot a deer. Like you can go buy your own meat. So that saying kind of irritates me too. And it's not that somebody shoots a four pointer. I don't really care. It's that they shoot a four pointer and then go on social media and say, and like downplay their kill. Like, but if you're going to shoot it, be proud of it, dude. Like, be like, you know, sit there, take a picture of it and be happy that you shot a four pointer. Don't downplay it because you're embarrassed that you shot the four pointer.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it kind of gets to me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
How about, this is a big one. I'm going to get backlash on this one.
Uh-oh.
Here comes the controversy.
Uh-oh.
Okay. When you're watching a show or a podcast, this is bad. I'm going to get slapped for this one. But drinking and swearing. I just think it's unprofessional. I just do. I don't know. I know there's going to be people that are not going to like that I said that, but I just think that you would be further ahead not doing it than doing it and then getting these people to follow you. You know, I just think that it's better to be unseen, you know. It's just my opinion.
Well, I think as a company, a business, you should act professional, and I don't think drinking, you know, if you're in a booth at a trade show or something like that, is not very professional.
I saw that this weekend at a show.
Yeah, and I think that should be done behind the scenes a little bit from the public view. Like, hey, if you want to, it's just like at a job, you know, you don't want to go to your job in the morning smelling like a brew, like yeast and a beer. Like, but if you want to go home after work and drink, sure. That's on
it's
your
not
personal
my
time.
Business. That's up to you.
Yep. That's your personal time. But when you're out at a job or in the public view, when you're a business person or something, you should probably not smell like beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just my personal preference. I know, I guess because I'm over it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't used to do it.
Yeah. You know? Well, I can tell you this. I'm 39 years old. I have never been drunk in my entire life. Nobody might not believe that. I've never smoked. I don't smoke turtle weed.
As a kite.
I don't drink. I've had a beer. I've had beers here and there, but I have never been drunk. Never. Not one time. And a lot of people find that hard to believe. I have no interest in hanging out with people that drink. It's annoying. I cannot stand it. I don't want to be around it. And people that smoke cigarettes or turtle weed, I don't like the smell. And it's annoying as heck. And I hate it. I don't want to be around it. When I used to be in hunting camps and clubs and stuff, and that's all people would want to do is sit around and drink and get all plastered. Then they can't get up the next morning and they're hollering and screaming and this and this and this. And I told you the story where I went to a Ohio Outfitter and the Now TV show got kicked out of the hunting club or
I remember who you mean.
Kicked out of the Outfitter because they were drinking and partying all night long while everybody else that paid to be there was trying to sleep. And they were up at 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, screaming, hollering, banging stuff around. And a couple people complained and they gave them a warning. They did it again the next day and they got kicked out. So it's just not something I want to associate myself with.
Yeah. And that might be those people might be the only trip they ever could afford and ever take.
Right.
You know, and it might get ruined by someone else doing that.
Right.
Hey, what everybody else does at their own house is their business.
Right.
I get it. But it's just my personal preference. I don't think it should be in the industry, you know, even on the hunting shows on cable television now, you know, they're cussing outwardly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really? You know, so. Okay. Yeah. Moving on.
Okay.
Your turn.
Number four. It kind of leads back to what we've said, so I'll keep it short already, but the term pro staff. I don't know, that terminology just really, really bothers me. Everybody's a pro staff. I think it, like, I like to call it a partnership. Mm-hmm. And it's all basically the same thing. It's just pro staff. Like, I don't know. I can't explain it, but the terminology of it, I know if my buddy Nate is listening to this, he'll know he's laughing right now because we always used to, you know, make jokes back and forth about pro staff. He lives out in Missouri. He's a firefighter and I got to meet him because he actually, when I first started my YouTube channel, he actually helped me out a lot. He made my very first logo. He taught me how some tips and stuff on how to edit, adding B-roll and stuff. So that was all him teaching me on that. And he doesn't do anything really anymore, but he was one of the first ones that I met through like YouTube and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the terminology of pro staff irks me.
Yeah. Cause it means promotional staff.
Mm-hmm.
It don't mean you're a pro at anything.
Right.
So.
Oh, I'm a pro.
Okay. Moving on. How about some of these people shooting broadheads and stuff through wood and concrete and testing broadheads that way?
Yeah.
I just think that's obviously an unfair test for any broadhead.
Well, and they're,
yeah. I mean, and some of them do hold up to that crap, but if you're doing your job right and you're shooting a sharp broadhead, any size, any mechanical, any fixed blade, whatever, and you're shooting through the rib cage for a double lung, any broadhead on the market will go through a deer with the right kinetic energy and, you know, all that jazz. So you do your part right and the broadhead will do its job right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about if it shoots into concrete or through a piece of plywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't take marginal shots, practice, have sharp broadheads, and the rest will take care of you.
You know, the whole key in that is two things: shot placement and a sharp broadhead. Like you said, them broadheads need to be sharp.
Yep.
They have to be. I remember when I was a kid, I was in, like I just mentioned a little while ago, I was in clubs and stuff. There was guys in there that they were shooting through plywood, and then they would take that same broadhead and go out in the field and hunt with it.
Right.
And it was dull. It wouldn't even cut butter. And then they wound all these deer and they can't find them. The broadhead has to be sharp. And I've noticed over the years, manufacturing of broadheads has been poor and poor, more poor, more poor. And then broadheads right out of the pack are dull.
Some of them are.
Yep. And my favorite broadhead is Swacker. I've shot Swacker for a very long time. There was a period of time, five years back, them things were dull. Mm. And then something changed, and now you buy them, they're sharp as could be. So there was a period there where they went downhill, and now they're sharp again. So, but yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. I'm about out of stuff. How about you?
I have one more, and I saved the best for last.
All right, it, and we'll wrap it up.
And you'll find this funny. You know what it is?
No, you go ahead.
Out-of-state hunters.
That is funny.
Hunt your own state.
Hunt your own state, Dave.
So, out-of-state hunting. Now, I live in Maryland. I have a lease in Pennsylvania. I've hunted in Kentucky. I've hunted in New York. I've hunted in Virginia. I hunt in Maryland. I've hunted in Ohio. I've hunted all over. I don't care if somebody comes into my state and deer hunts. If they have the money to lease a piece of property on the eastern shore of Maryland, by all means do it, because I don't. So if I can't afford it, I'm not going to be mad at you that I can't lease it and you can. The guys from PA, they have a farm in PA or in Maryland that they hunt. It's 1,000 acres that they lease. And I know pretty much right where it's at. And I'm not mad at them. I don't really care. Now, over the years, I have been harassed for hunting PA. Just this past weekend, I was getting gas at the farm store up there at Sheets. I had my four-wheeler, the spreader, everything loaded on my trailer, and I was pumping gas, and a guy next to me, older guy, he's like, "Oh, what you got going on there?" I said, "Oh, I'm working on my farm." He's like, he kind of like creeped around. He's like, "Maryland?" He's like, "What are you doing up here?" I said, "I'm working on my farm. What are you doing up here?" He's like, "I live here." I said, "Okay, good for you." And I got in my truck and I left. But he was irritated that I was from Maryland and I'm in PA. Like, that stuff bothers me. Like, it's annoying. Like, I don't care. It's not my state. You're laughing at it. It's funny.
It is, because I remember the original statement. It just cracks me up,
man. Yeah. How about the time I was in Punxsutawney?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I'm at the red light.
What was you hauling that day?
I was in my Dodge, the Ram that killed your dreams. Yes, killed my dreams. I had that, my trailer, the four-wheeler, the spreader, spray tank, and my Ferminator.
Yep.
All loaded on the trailer. And I was kind of at an angle, so anybody coming on the other lane toward me could see everything. And there was a group of guys, you could tell they were probably rednecks, deer hunter or something. And they were looking at me and they were giving me the finger. And they were like, and they rode past me. They said, "Hunt your own state." I was like, that's where it started. And then all the harassment we got from the old farm, from the locals there, and the dude that rolled up on us in the field as we're there. And it was just, look, guys, like, people travel, they go on vacation, they go different. Like, am I not supposed to go to Florida for vacation because it's not my state?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Now I do understand the mentality of, okay, I'm from Maryland. Let's say I come into PA and I hunt public land, and I go to this public land, I'm trashing a place, I'm leaving trash behind, because that's one of the complaints where, oh, you know, all these out-of-state hunters come in and trash the place up. Well, it could be, but
I doubt it.
I doubt it, right?
It's probably a local redneck.
Correct. And that's my exact point. And it's like the sick of deer thing. Mm-hmm. Them guys down there are very territorial about the sick of deer. And that part I understand a little bit more, because sick of deer, they're only in like two counties down there. They're kind of rare in a way. And now you got all these guys flooding there, and it's crowding the public land where all these people grew up hunting sick. I get it. But hey, man, it's public land. And
yeah,
you know, if you're from Ohio, Florida, Texas, whatever, you can hunt anywhere you want.
You sold me out. You went back to the parking area with my Sika and told them I was from PA.
I did. And they hated you.
They was all going to kill me.
They quit talking to me after that. All right, guys. Well, that is...
It's 65.
That's 10, I guess. 10 pet peeves. Well, maybe 9. And that's what we hate in the hunting world. Some of these things. So hopefully, maybe, you know, you guys agree with it. Maybe leave us some comments if you agree. And hey, if you disagree, let us know.
Why not?
And then also, I'd like to thank recently, over the weekend, there was two guys. I don't know. It doesn't tell you who they are, but there was two guys that left comments on the Apple iTunes the podcast app on our podcast.
Oh.
And one said, like, awesome podcast, great job, keep it up. Another one kind of said the same thing. They both gave us a five star rating.
Oh, nice. So
whoever that was, thank you for that. And that's all I got today.
Nice feedback.
Yep, that's all I got.
Okay, guys, we will see you on 66.
Later.